Let us turn again to the book of Ruth, chapter 1, and as the Lord may be pleased to help us, let us consider verse 16. Ruth 1, 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." Well, there are two good women here. First is Naomi, who with her husband had to leave their own land. They had to leave Bethlehem in Judah. And of course, their two sons went with them. They found food there. But the man and the two sons, they died. Naomi, sadly, was left alone with her daughters-in-law. And she decided to come back home. The Lord had visited his people and given them food. And she came back. And the two daughters-in-law followed her. But it was a concern to Naomi, it would seem. Was there heart in it? And so she questioned them. There was an element of questioning in it anyway. And there were questions asked. She said, "Turn again, my daughters. Go your way. For I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown?" It was unreasonable, she was suggesting. They had better go back home. Perhaps they would find husbands among their own people. And Orpah accepted that. She wasn't altogether happy, it would seem, about leaving Moab and coming to the place where God was to be known. She went back. It was a perfectly harmonious party. There was no falling out, which is a great blessing. But you see, it was different with Ruth. "Do not plead with me," we might express it. "Do not plead with me to go away, to leave you." She says, "Do not plead with me to return from following after thee." Here was her resolve. "Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people." And there's something else. "Thy God shall be my God." And that's the point at which one can be sure that grace was in her heart. Not only did she want to be the companion, not only did she want to be bound to Naomi, but she wanted to be bound to Naomi's God. And we can argue back from that. that she wanted to be bound to the people of God. We don't know, were there many godly people in that time? But Naomi was one of them. And Ruth wanted to be bound to them. No separation, she would say. No separation here. These are my people. And they were her people because God, their God, was hers also. And we might examine ourselves as to what we have of love to God, of what desire we have for the great God of eternity and His Son who came to be the Savior of the world. Yes. What love have we got to Him? What binding is there of us to the Lord? Is there this indissoluble union, we might say? Entreat me not to leave thee, not to return after following after thee. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Have we got anything of that? Or is it all outward? Are we wanting to be like Ruth from the heart? Or is it enough to be with Orpah? And the bond between Orpah and Naomi, it was no doubt genuine as far as it went, but it didn't last. She might have thought back from Moab to her good friend, her mother-in-law, but she was content to live in Moab, away from the means of grace, away from where sacrifices were offered, away from where the true God was worshipped. It was different with Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. We might quite simply speak first about Naomi, and then about Ruth. First, what Naomi was. And second, we will try to speak about Ruth's desire. And if we place greatest emphasis on the desire that Jehovah, the true God, would be her God, it's because that's where her spiritual state becomes clearest. First then, what Naomi was. And the first thing we will say was this, is this. She was a child of the true God. It was according to the promise that God had given to Israel when He was going to bring them out of Egypt. And you see, what Ruth is saying is, I want to be like these people. Perhaps you can hear her say, I want to have the blessings of the people of God. I want to have the blessings of the people of God. Have we got that? Not just in the way that Balaam said, let me die in the death of the righteous, and let my latter end be like his. She's saying, I want the life of the righteous. I want the care of the Good Shepherd. We might think of her say, I'm not saying that she ever said that, though her descendant David was very much thinking of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he would say. As a shepherd himself, perhaps that was often part of his meditation when he was about the sheep. The shepherd, the divine shepherd, the Lord, Jehovah is my shepherd. Yes. And surely in a world as dangerous as this, and particularly we might think of the dangers that come our way, dangers to our souls, surely we should be thinking of our need of the Good Shepherd to take care of us. Or one might think of Peter, or James, or John, or any of the other 11 faithful disciples. We might think of them in their relationship with Jesus. They might think of him as the Good Shepherd. They heard him say, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now at that stage, they weren't taking in what was meant by giving his life for the sheep. But no doubt they knew him as the Good Shepherd. The shepherd with a care for the sheep. Yes. And we might think of Naomi from afar off in time. And she thinks of the Good Shepherd, thinks of the Lord is able to guide her. And Ruth too, the Good Shepherd who was able to guide her, bring her on her way safely through this world. Well, that's how it is. Do we feel our need of the Good Shepherd when there is so much to throw us off from thinking of Jesus Christ as the Savior and our need of the Savior? Have we got that? To whom shall I go? As Peter had, by God's grace, that was the words of eternal life. Have we been brought to that? To say that for ourselves. I need the care of the Good Shepherd. And I am to go to the Good Shepherd because he came into the world to save sinners. I need the care of the Shepherd. Whatever my circumstances, he is the Good Shepherd. The one who is kind. Oh, what kindness, what grace there was in Christ Jesus coming into this world. Yes. I don't want to say he came from heaven, because he didn't come away from heaven as to his divine nature, but he came into the world. He did. He took human nature because he was to save his people from their sins. He was to do what was necessary for the salvation of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz and others. However many there were in that generation, I can't say. I don't need to say. There were some. And there was that provision to be made for them in the future. And they were looking over years and centuries to the future when the Good Shepherd would come and when he would be a sacrifice. You see? There's a great deal of teaching in the sacrifices. We'll not go into it to any extent this evening. But you see, there's substitution there. Somebody brings a lamb or a sheep or a heifer or whatever it might be to be killed. And what he is saying, if he's got faith, is this: here is my substitute. Are you looking around for a substitute? One who will bear your punishment, who will take your place before God? Yes. Are you looking for such a substitute? Well, there's one provided in the gospel. The good shepherd, he gave his life instead of the sheep. Oh, sinner, look to it. With all your sin, which will be your own responsibility, unless you will look away to Christ, and you're to look back to what has happened. Oh, what a degree of faith was necessary, we might say, for Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, the godly of that generation, and all the Old Testament generations, to look over through years and centuries to what was to come. Yes. Those who, in the light of the gospel as it was made known in the Old Testament, the good news concerning the seed of the woman, I'm thinking of what was said in the Garden of Eden, the revelation of a way of salvation through a coming Redeemer. Yes. And there's much the typology of the Old Testament that was of use to teach the people of that time. And by typology, I mean all that is made known in the way of types, like sacrifices. Christ was there among them. Christ was at the temple. Christ was at the tabernacle. And there were people who were seeing by faith, looking over the years and over the centuries by faith, and faith bringing near the provision of a good shepherd who would give his life for the sheep. Yes. And among them was Naomi. Yes. A good woman indeed. And what I was going to say quite a bit back in thinking in these terms, thy people shall be my people. And understanding that to include this, I want their blessings. I want the blessings that belong to the people of God. And they're not in Moab. They're not to be found in Moab, though she found mercy in Moab. But they weren't generally to be found in Moab, but they were to be found in the land of Judah and the land of Israel. Blessings, yes. That she might be a child of God, that she might be one of God's people. She was laying hold of that by faith. For the Lord had said, perhaps Naomi told her that. We don't know how much Naomi told her, or what particular things she would have told her. Or her husband, perhaps. Or both of them. But you see, she learned the truth. And the truth was applied to her soul. And she got good for her soul. Yes. And we should be seeking that. Naomi, back in Judah before she left, she had, as one would assume, had found mercy. She had learned things about the good shepherd at any rate. She had learned about sin. We can be sure of that. And I'll say various things about Naomi, as I might say about any of the Lord's people in that time. But we can apply them to ourselves, even in the way of saying, I don't have that. And if that would bring us to seek for salvation, to seek for grace for ourselves, what a blessing that would be. She had learned about sin then. And I know it's a prophet of a later time, Jeremiah, who said that. It is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee. But Naomi was brought to fear God. She was brought to turn away from sin. She was brought to look to the Good Shepherd, the Messiah that was promised. She was brought to look to it. That's what we need. The saving work of the Holy Spirit in our souls, so that we would not be left in the spiritual state into which we were born, a state of sin. But oh, what is the teaching of Scripture in relation to sin? Yes, beyond what is said about its seriousness, there's this, that there is forgiveness. David had that. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, that sin, so that sinners might live a godly life. Oh, we should have that desire. And we might well ask the Lord, put that desire in my soul. We have a range of desires expressed by Ruth, and we'll come to that, I trust. But there's this, that we would ask the Lord to give us true desire. What is prayer? It's an expression of desire before God, of things that are agreeable to his will, and surely to be of the people of God, to have their desires, to be expressing their desires. Surely that's it's part of the grace that the Lord gives. Oh, how dependent we should be on the Lord's work in the soul, in our souls, and in the souls of others, that others would get that blessing. And you see, no doubt, Naomi was brought to this, to realize that without faith, apart from faith, it is impossible to please God. Yes, we need faith. O Lord, work faith in my soul. That's what we should be asking. O Lord, work faith in my soul. But more than that, we should be asking, may I see the Good Shepherd. Now, if there's faith, faith will be looking to the Good Shepherd. Faith will be resting on the Good Shepherd. But you see, we need Christ. We need to have applied to our souls the work that Christ did for sinners. And I've been speaking about the faith of Naomi, reaching over the centuries that separated her from the coming of Christ. Yes, what a blessing. What wonderful grace put into the heart of a sinner. And the Lord, by the Holy Spirit working grace, working faith in the heart of sinners today, and faith going back over centuries, as well as it were, going over the distance that there is between us and heaven, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Faith going over the distance between us and heaven. Yes, and yet Christ comes where sinners are. And there's a spiritual distance between sinners and Christ until the Lord works faith in the soul, and that faith goes over the spiritual distance that there is between us and Christ. Blessed are they whose hearts are drawn across that spiritual distance by the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Naomi had learned to pray. We can be sure of that. We might not have anything set before us in so many words, but we know that she was a godly woman. When she saw that Ruth was steadfastly committed to continue with her, steadfastly minded, she gave up trying to persuade her to go back. She was satisfied, her mind was satisfied about Ruth. Yes, she was a praying woman. And praying women and praying men can be satisfied. The Lord can satisfy them. They will go on praying, of course. But there's a spiritual satisfaction which will continue asking. Yes, they may be encouraged to believe that their prayers are answered, yet there's still a delight in going on praying, a spiritual satisfaction. Yes, and she had learned to take the scriptures as her guide, knowing, as her descendant David was to say, he was to say, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than the snow. She was saying, I need these things. Oh, she mightn't have used that form of words. But you see, she was brought up with a sense of need. She knew something about sin. And knew something about the provision for sin. And so she would pray for good things. She would pray for blessings. As directed by the word of God, which she knew she could trust. She probably didn't have her own copy of any part of scripture. But still, she would have been taught. Yes. But you see what I'm saying about Naomi, I'm saying it with a view to this. This is the sort of thing that the people of God learn. They learn it from a much fuller revelation. They have the whole Bible to learn from. Not like Ruth and those in our time would have the five books of Moses and probably the book of Joshua. The book of Job, very likely. But that would be it. Ah, well, what a privilege we have. But we need the same God. We need the same prayer. We need the same Savior. We need the same grace. Yes, and the Lord is able to give us that. But you see, she left her own country, and we can just think of her as having something of the same dealings with her soul, God dealing with her soul in much the same way as he dealt with Abram. And Abram, he was so dealt with by God that he was no longer at home in Ur of the Chaldees. And he heard the voice of God calling him to leave. And Ruth, one can take it, she was no longer at home. And Naomi was no longer at home. It wasn't her own country after all. It was an idolatrous country. And she felt obliged to leave. Yes, Naomi would be at home back in Israel, where the word of God was, where the word of God had been revealed. And she went back, and she was looking for a city that hath foundations, as Abram was. whose builder and maker is God. Where will we go when our lives in this world will come to an end? Where will we go? Have we got a city in view? Oh, people might have been, and they were, put out of their own homes. They couldn't stay in their own native place any longer. Where will we go, they might say? What city will we go toward? What town will we go to? What community will we go to? And what about ourselves? Where will we go? Are we making choice of a city? A city with foundations that the Lord has built. In other words, heaven ultimately. Yes. And that's a choice that Naomi made. Is it your choice? Very possibly it may be your choice because you know something about hell as the only alternative. But are you wanting to set out for that city just now? Not a physical movement, but a spiritual movement. A movement away from the world. A movement away from being content with the world. A movement towards heaven. A movement in response to the call of the King of Heaven. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Christ is saying to us in the gospel, I have a city, and it has foundations. It will not be swept away with any change of thinking. Yes. People may be content with where they are spiritually. But there's going to come a flood, so to speak, to sweep them away. Yes. A flood. The flood that comes at death. Yes, but you see, there's a city that has foundations that cannot be swept away with any kind of flood. A city that has foundations that cannot be swept away. That's what we need. That's what Naomi chose. That's what Ruth chose. That's what Abram chose. That's what many another poor sinner chose. And they got their desire and their way home to that city that will never be swept away. Yes, how blessed for them. But what about ourselves? But perhaps we should go on and say a little about Ruth and her desire. Ruth, and living in contact with Naomi. We don't know anything about the three men in the in their lives. Spiritually, I mean. But there was this that Laban said in connection with Jacob. I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And we can think of Ruth saying that to Naomi. And people hear it maybe saying it before God. I've learned by experience that the Lord has blessed me for the sake of someone in my life who showed me a good example, a parent, her parents, for instance. I've learned it by example. The blessing I had, I've learned by experience, I should say, the blessing that I had to their example, their prayerful example, their believing example, their acknowledgement that they needed Christ and they couldn't be right without, and there was none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Yes. learning by experience, you see. Naomi was an epistle, a letter, known and read of all men. She was known and read by Ruth, and she got a blessing from reading her example. And you see the welcome she got from Boaz, that he commented that she had come to the Lord God of Israel. She had come to trust under his wings, like a chicken under the wings of the hen. Now, you see, there is Christ, and he's got wings, so to speak. He speaks of that himself. He's got wings, and we're out in a dangerous world. We can easily be swept away very quickly into a lost eternity, and we'll be saved. But we'll be safe if we are under the wings of the Almighty, the one who has no limit to his power. Yes, are we seeking? Let us seek. Let us seek grace so that we might run to Christ as the one who is able to deliver us from every danger that there is in this world of ours, every danger. That's it. Let us be going to Christ. I've just quoted his words, which are words to us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whatever it is that is a heavy burden to you, go to Christ. As it was true in Egypt, there was Joseph. He was a savior, so to speak, for Egypt. He had given the advice that had resulted in there being plenty of food stored up. And so Pharaoh could say, go to Joseph. He will feed you. He will provide for you. So we are to say to any seeking sinner in particular, go to Joseph. He has food for your soul. He has grace that will save you. Look to him. Go to him. Tell him that you need forgiveness. Tell him that you need to be made whole. Oh, go to Joseph, the Joseph of the New Testament. That's where Ruth was brought to go. She had the same sort of desires as Naomi had. And she could not bear to be separated from Naomi, who was a child of God. Is that not what's at the center of her desire? Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Thy people shall be my people. I don't want to be separated from them. There's something about them. There's grace appearing where they are. Grace appearing in the way they live. Grace appearing in what they seek. And that's what I need. And that's an encouragement to me. It's an example, but it's more than an example. It shows me what I need. It shows me that this is possible. Think of somebody that has been recently brought into the kingdom of God. You might feel, I'm still outside. Well, look at it this way. That person was brought into the kingdom of God. And think of the graciousness of the good shepherd, willing to bring other sheep in. Think of the graciousness of the good shepherd going to seek and to save that which was lost. Go to him yourself. He will not turn you away. But what we're more doing just now, we're trying to do, is showing the examples we have here. Naomi and Ruth, they're examples to us. They found the good shepherd. They sought the good shepherd. And accordingly, there's this desire in the heart of Ruth. Entreat me not to leave thee. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. Have you found that? Is it even in your heart as a desire? Who put that there? Who put that there? Was it always there? Well, it wasn't always there. Look back and you can be sure of that. And why was it there? Why is it there now? It's because the Lord put it there. Yes. Go on your knees and tell the Lord that you want to be united to him, that you want to have his blessing, that you want others to be united to him. Who put that desire there? Did it grow out of your own thinking? Or is it the work of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust? Yes. And so now, in Christ Jesus, this Moabitish woman, who at one time was afar off, has now been brought nigh by the blood of Christ, by the blood of the sacrifice that she needed. Those who were in Israel would be offering sacrifices. And by the blood of that sacrifice, or these sacrifices, there was the sign of forgiveness. But the real sacrifice could only be offered away in the future. But the merits of that sacrifice were being brought near by faith. Brought near in spite of all the years and centuries that were separating these people from the good shepherd and his giving of his life for them. Yes. But you see, faith given by God, and it is bringing all that near. And faith given by God to poor needy sinners today, it's bringing these things near. God gives the faith. God has provided the sacrifice. God has provided the shepherd, the good shepherd. And all the blessings bound up with the sacrifice and all the blessings bound up with the good shepherd, they have been brought near to the faith of God's people. They have been brought near. Have you found that yourself? Have you got even a little glimpse of that yourself? Yes. Have you? And you see, when I speak about the blessings of the good shepherd, there's the blessings of the Lord's Supper. When there is that picture, that particular these particular symbols of Christ as the one who died, and Christ coming, as it were, to the head of the table, to say to his people sitting at the table, I am the good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd for you. I gave my life for the sheep. I gave my life for you. And who are the you? They are those who are trying to echo the words of Ruth. Thy people shall be my people. That's what I want. Thy God shall be my God. That is what I want. You see, there were many desires in people's hearts when they were still in Satan's kingdom. But these desires needed cleansing. These desires needed to be put right. Yes. And that's One way, one very helpful way for us to examine ourselves. What are my desires? What do I really want? What do I most want? Even for this world itself, as well as for eternity. Is it to have the Good Shepherd? Is it to have a living faith in Christ? As the one who died for sinners and rose again? Yes. Is it something of this? Taking these statements as a desire, as desires. Thy people shall be my people. May thy people be my people. You see what John says in his epistle. As a mark of grace, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And some people might think of that as a very low mark. Well, whether it is or not, it's a mark. And if we can recognize that mark in ourselves, we should be very thankful. Thy people shall be my people. Do you know anything of that? Or should you not be drawing conclusions if that's the case? Should we not be, if that is the case, coming to this conclusion, it's telling me that I passed from death into life. It's telling me that I am one of God's children. Yes. The Lord identifying people as his people because they have the marks of God's children. Yes. Wanting to have God as one's God, the true God, the living God. Not the idols of this generation or of any generation. Not the world, the flesh and the devil. But to have Christ. To have Christ, to have a true hold on Christ as the one who came into the world to save sinners. You see, she was steadfastly minded to go with Naomi. And you might feel your own fickleness. You might feel your own weakness. But you see, the Lord makes sinners to be steadfastly minded to go with Christ. This is all my salvation and all my desire. And you see, the desire of Boaz for Ruth was fulfilled. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee. Of the Lord God of Israel. No doubt he was feeling the faithfulness of Ruth to Naomi. And the faithfulness of Ruth to the Lord God of Israel. And he says, the Lord recompense thy work. And it was a godly way of putting it on his part. But you see, there will be a reward. However weak a child with God would be, and however far that person might feel a distance between them and Christ, still you see, the Lord will reward the faintest degree of faith. He will bring them to heaven. He will bring you of these desires to heaven at last. He will bring you to the blessedness of that place where there is no sin, no more sin. Yes. And we can think of those who are taken away from this world, who were following Christ, whose desires were of the kind I've been trying to point to. And we can say they've received the reward. All is well. But what about us? What are our desires like? Is our desire after the Lord God of Israel? Have we begun to trust in him for this life and for the next. And if we go on, if we go on in dependence upon Christ, no other Saviour, not being our desire, but to have Christ, then we will be led on safely, and all will be well when we have to cross that fast-flowing river, one might say, the river of death. But there will be one to guide us, one to take us by the hand, one to bring us over the river safely, as he has brought all his children thus far, and always will. He will bring them safely to heaven at last. But this is what we need, to be looking unto Jesus, to be trusting in him, fleeing from the wrath to come. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. Bless the truth. Give us true desires. May we learn from the people of the Old Testament as well as of the New. May we learn from Naomi and Ruth and Boaz to put our trust in Christ. Oh, may we be crying out to them, that we're able to do that for us. Speak into our souls these words. Go unto Joseph. And may we have a desire for the true bread that has come down from heaven. Even Christ Jesus, pardon our sin, keep us from evil. Take us in safety through the days that are left to us. And grant thy blessing on us now. Grant thy blessing at the communion season in this place and other communion seasons even before then. O Lord, do wonderfully. Bless us and keep us and care for us and wash away all our sin. Be thou our God and guide forever. Lord, take glory to thyself in the salvation of sinners and in our salvation. Take care of thy children. Watch over them and grant to protect them all from all the harm that swirls around us, and take care of thy children likewise. Keep us, Lord, make us thankful, make us in earnest about our souls, for Jesus' sake, amen.